Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast, and I'm your host, Austin. We're talking this week again about, because I feel like this is a fairly new approach on an existing subject, but we're going to talk about night vision and specifically how you can afford it. I think that night vision is one of, if not the greatest capability add that you can provide yourself as somebody who seeks to be a more prepared, more capable citizen, right? And certainly I think that when we have the discussion about night vision, it starts to kind of bleed over now too. We start to kind of include thermals into that discussion because there's so many options out there, right, for thermal overlays, for thermal clip-on scopes that they can augment what you have available to you. There's ways you can build fusion setups. I have a buddy who built a setup that has a dual purpose bridge, basically, where you can attach a PVS-14, so a single tube night vision device to cover one eye, and a thermal tube device on the right eye, the other eye, basically. You guys get what I'm saying, right? Now, these don't get used at the same time, because I think, like, somebody gave me some ridiculous statistic. It's like 98% of the human race or population or whatever can't actually merge those two images together. Like, the hemispheres of your brain can't physically do it, and people will, like, literally, they'll get sick and vomit and stuff. So typically what you would do then is you walk around and move around and shoot and everything with your night vision, and then you can stop and flip that up and flip down the thermal imager and scan with that while you're stationary. Just the lack of definition, I think, is what it is on the thermal devices, make them less than ideal for movement, you know, use under movement. So you wouldn't have like a dual thermal binocular that you walk around looking through like you would, a set of dual night vision optics. But it is a very valuable tool if it's a clip-on application to like a recce rifle of some variety, something with a magnified optic, right? Where you're in an overwatch position scanning, trying to hold a perimeter, something like that, right? There's tons of applications for that. And you can do it in different mediums, or I think it's mediums. I don't really know what the color is, you know, red or green or black and white, where different shades of the color indicate the temperature change, right? So body heat being, you know, a very bright color, and dark colors being, you know, cooler temperature, things like that. So there's a lot to be said there on the thermal side of it, but we're going to talk specifically about night vision this week. As I'm sitting down with a friend of mine, a couple of friends of mine from Terrace Unity Solutions. So Shane and Ty, those guys are from Terrace Unity Solutions. That's a company, and I didn't find this out till just several months ago, which is crazy how large, but then how small this community can be at times. They live like, you know, Shane's like 5-7 minutes up the road from me. Absolutely ridiculous. Lives the next town over, and runs a night vision company, and is a super knowledgeable dude. Shoots competitions, has hosted competitions, is a member at the same gun range that I am, you know. And I happen to get the business name from a buddy who came out to training with us, CQB practice on a Thursday night. And hey, I finally got a PVS-14. I hadn't seen him in probably 6 months, whatever. He's been real busy with work. And because he's been so busy, he was able to finally, you know, get his first night vision device. I was like, oh, cool, man. That's awesome. You know, who'd you go through? He goes, oh, I went through Terrace Unity Solutions. I go, yeah, I don't know if I've heard of those guys. And I ended up, you know, chasing that down and finding Shane and finding out he lived really close to me. Like, that week, got together with him and, been a friend to me since then, been a dude that I chat with a lot about night vision, about the industry and all that kind of good stuff. And we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about how Tusk kind of came to be, but then we're also going to get into obviously the night vision side of it, and specifically focusing on how we can help you guys figure out how to get into night vision yourself, because it's a question that everybody asks, you know, themselves when they look at these devices, and everybody wants one, you know, whether it's something accessible as a surplus PVS-14 or maybe even a PVS-7, you know, where they just want to get their hands on some night vision, you know, and they're willing to take, surplus units and things like that. Or you're trying to actually, you know, just buy a used unit off the secondhand market, or you're buying new, but you're maybe just buying some cheaper tubes and a cheaper housing with less features and things like that. There's a lot of ways. You know, I think that the biggest part of the discussion is what really is your budget and how to operate successfully within the constraints of that. So we're going to get into all that. And certainly we have some sponsors, some partners in the industry that I have to say thank you to that make this all possible. And honestly, that starts with Custom Night Vision, oddly enough, you guys. Their website is customnightvision.com. You can head over to the website today and check it out for yourself. You can see all of the housings and options that the team at Custom has in stock to help you guys achieve that next level in capability. So whether you're looking for your very first device and you're looking at a single tube, something like the MH14 or the PVS14 or a Tonto from Nocturne Industries, or you're looking to buy once, cry once, as they say, right? Get into a binocular housing, dual tube housing, and you want to go swing for the fences, something like the MGA from AB Night Vision, the ruggedized Manticore from Nocturne Industries. They got all that stuff and more in stock, you guys. You can actually, on the webpage, they have two big old blue buttons there, binocular builder, and you can choose which one you want, whichever one you're looking for, and you can build out to your own specification, your heart's desire, right? What you want. So you can pick the housing you want, like the MH1 from Lloyd Innovations. You can pick the optics you want, so regular old mil spec, glass, or something like RPO 4.0 optics. You want some lightweight quality glass on there, and then you can pick the intensifier tubes you want. So anything from, you know, NNVT Gen 2 tubes, because you're balling on a budget and you want the capability. Maybe a step up with Photonis. They have lots of Photonis options, or you know, Elbit and L3, which are the standard that many of us look for because we just want Gen 3. They have all that stuff and honestly a whole lot more in stock, you guys. If you're looking for helmets, they carry the entire line of Team Wendy helmets, whether that's the Bump, the Carbon Bump, the X-Fill, the Epic, all kinds of good stuff going on from Team Wendy. Lights, lasers from companies like B.E. Myers and Steiner and a whole lot more, you guys. Again, the website is customnightvision.com. Head on over there. Use the chat function that's built into the website. Let them know that Austin from Prepared Mindset sent you guys over. They're going to take fantastic care of you. There's some awesome, awesome dudes doing some great work. Again, customnightvision.com. And also want to say a very, very big thank you to our friends, our partners over at Harrington Arms, you guys. Their website, it's harringtonarms.com. Harrington with an E, by the way, because everybody likes to misspell that with an A and then they can't find the website. But harringtonarms.com. And those guys make some absolutely awesome compensators. They sent me out their HC95. I put that one on my Glock 45. So if you guys have a threaded barrel, Glock 19X, or you just go out and buy the OEM Glock barrel. They also have options from companies like True Precision on their website. Grab a threaded barrel, throw a compensator on, you guys. Fantastic shooting experience. Like, honestly, compensator technology, the reliability has come so far. And we had a great conversation with Jake about it a couple weeks ago here, talking about what Harrington does and hearing about their upcoming release to the market, which is their barrel and compensator combo, similar to some other popular offerings that are out there, you guys. So go check it out for yourselves. It's harringtonarms.com. Super, super stoked to be partnering with those guys. They make some absolutely fantastic products, and they're neighbors to the south in Ohio. So check those guys out. Throw them some love. They're a fantastic company. So again, thank you to both those companies for their support, you guys. Without them, we just couldn't do everything that we do here with Prepared Mindset. But specifically, like I said, this week, we are talking night vision. We're going to talk with Shane and Ty from Terrace Unity Solutions. We're talking affordability. We're talking accessibility. We might get into some of the technical side of stuff. I don't know. It's always a little bit crazy with these guys, which way we take it. But it should all be really, really good and very helpful information to you, especially, like I said, if you're one of those people out there, you kind of been chasing the dream. You want to get into your first night vision setup. You want to get into your first night vision, solution set, if you will. You have a helmet. You even have a mount ready to go, like a Surplus Neurotos or something. And you're just trying to find a way to get over the hump there, right? To get that PVS 14 or PVS 7 or, you know, some 31 alphas, maybe, if you've been saving up for a while, because you just want to get the best thing that you can. We're going to get into all of that. I'm sure we're going to get into all of that and a heck of a lot more. Shane is super knowledgeable about this stuff. I spent 90 minutes on the phone with him yesterday after the Licentia Arms video dropped, which has now been taken offline. And if you guys know, you know, and if you don't, then you'll probably know sooner or later. But it should be a really cool discussion. I'm looking forward to it. These dudes are local to me, doing some great work with Terrace Unity Solutions. So with that, let's just cut on over to this week's discussion. Shane, Ty, welcome to the podcast, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, man. I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to pick your guys' brains on stuff like night vision. It's you can have generalized knowledge, you know what I mean? Like, basically know how to use it, you can know a lot about it. But then there's just it's a wormhole or a rabbit hole, I guess, unlike a lot of things. Probably because I mean there's like a science piece behind it, but also just model numbers and stuff like there's so much when we get into it. So having you guys on to kind of I guess drive this discussion, or at least guide me, because I feel like I know enough to get myself in trouble, and that's about as far as I take it. So happy to have you fellows on, Shane, especially because you're I mentioned this when I recorded my intro, like I think we met like 6-ish months ago, and you live like 7 minutes from me.
I
So
could level your house with a howitzer.
yeah, you're within spitting distance
Oh,
for sure. It's
absolutely.
always embarrassing when you're like, hey, you find somebody, right? And you're like, how did I not know you existed for the last like 5 years I've been doing this, right? So
On purpose.
let's start with this. Let's start with some introductions. So Shane, if you want to go first and just tell the audience a little bit about who you are and kind of what you do right now.
So my name's Shane Sharp. I am the president and CEO of Terrace Unity Solutions, or TUS as we are commonly referred to. It's owning a night vision company, doing things and trying to combat the market and progress the best we can. I don't know. We're here to offer quality products, and realistic solutions, and that's the goal. The goal is to expand. The goal is to offer more. How that's all being drawn up, there's a lot of care to it, if you will.
Yeah, no, for sure. Ty, how about you, man?
Sweet, man. Ty Morgan. I'm a South Florida law enforcement officer currently. Been on the job for almost 7 years, active SWAT operator for about three of those. Previously to law enforcement, I worked in public accounting and auditing. So my previous background was actually the financial and accounting sector. So when Shane and I first connected, it was kind of interesting where he thought I was just kind of the tactical guy. And then I was like, hey man, I'm a certified public accountant as well, right? And then that kind of unleashed the whole, well, now you're officially knighted into the you're the CFO of this operation for us to help with our finances and all the other stuff that goes within it. But so yeah, I kind of have a little bit of both sides between some business acumen, but working with Shane's really exciting because he's got a creative mind, and he's always thinking and trying to conjure up something new for us to be different, but also ahead of the market in the best ways possible, so we can keep quality products rolling out at good prices and efficiently. So yeah, that's kind of my rough
How
start.
did you decide that you were going to go from, because I work in banking, so
Okay.
how did you go from CPA, which is like, I don't want to hate on my accounting folks out there, but like, how did you go from the most mundane of professions into something like law? I don't
Yeah.
want to like spend a ton of time on it, but I mean, like,
No,
how did that
absolutely.
happen?
I mean, it pretty It's much
funny
comes because
down
we
to
planned for Ty to go first.
oh yeah.
We planned for Ty to go first. That's the funny part. So
It
go ahead.
actually
Sorry to
comes
interrupt.
down to mostly my upbringing, my family. My dad's one of six boys, half are police officers, half are firefighters. So there's always that funny beef going on between who had the better job and who was smarter on the aptitude test. And all my dad and his couple brothers said they were the smarter ones becoming cops, and the firefighters said that the cops are, a bunch of losers and they're the hose draggers. So but either way, I started in the accounting field, did that for almost 3 years, and I was just going crazy being buried in public accounting and auditing, and just working at a laptop for ungodly amounts of hours. And I'm like, well, my dad's job seemed pretty cool. Growing up, he was an active SWAT operator for almost 20 years for the Broward Sheriff's Office, and so he had a cool career down here. And I'm like, well, that beats a desk job. So racing around in cars and arresting people and beating up bad guys and stuff seemed like a maybe not the smartest move looking back at it now. Everybody, once you get into government work, you see the pros and cons of it. But in my short-sighted 23, 24-year-old mind, I'm like, yeah, let's send it and try that for a while. And then but it's been fun. It's been rewarding, and it's a cool environment. Obviously, I got plenty of the Florida men, the Florida man to deal with down here in South Florida. Nice.
But
Yeah,
seeing
psychos.
Yeah, lots of type in your birthday and Florida man after it, you'll get something cool to pop up on Google. And so yeah, I've been doing that for a little bit, and through police work and being a gun guy and stuff, always tricking out toys and collecting and all that stuff. I kind of just, there's a tier system to it as far as your financial investment and what's the next cool thing. And it stumbled from, building out rifles to optics to, and then you go kind of like the next year be like thermal. And then I was like, well, during COVID, Governor DeSantis was handing out free money like candy, and I'm like, night vision's where that's going. And that's how this whole thing pretty much started.
Yeah, I mean,
Absolutely.
that COVID money, that changed the game for several folks. Here in Michigan, I didn't see a lot of that though. I saw a lot of people going and getting Charger Hellcats and stuff like that and doing dumb shit up here. We got a lot of that during COVID.
I went down the cloning wormhole. And
Yeah.
that's that, no, but it wasn't a bad thing. So, like, I
It's a
guess,
terrible thing.
no, it's not, because if you understand where everything came from and you understand the progression of it, right? So, and I guess for me, not to fumble it, I've worked in the automotive industry for the last decade plus, 15 years total. So I'm especially now on the OEM side in manufacturing and being like, frontline for GM on their 6-2 failure, which is comical. I don't know how you mess up the greatest small block ever, but you did it. But that kind of point being, like, how do I explain this? It's weird. This is I'm losing I'm getting off track now. And just kind of going into, like, this, you see how night vision's come about and what it is, right? And apply, like, Ty Morgan, this was the big point. Ty Morgan's been like the, if you have ever been in the Facebook space, he was the night vision dude as far as like accessories go. What those accessories are, you'll see it. But he, like, most trusted guy in the world, right? And we started this because, I got lucky like everybody else. I won my first set of night vision. I won a set of PVS 15s. They were some L3 factory tubes, factory Linton device. They were had an EOTech data tag, 1300 FOM, give or take. And you look at it, and it's, you go from that, right, in COVID, and kind of circling back with COVID, I used all my money during that and I bought all this cool stuff. And then I learned going from PVS 15, circling back now, sorry. You go from that technology and what it's capable of to what you're doing, what's available now, like the 31 Alpha, the 1531, all those devices. And if you can understand the lineage and progression of it, and literally building the guns, the equipment, the laser, why they put that there, why is there Ranger tape here? Why did this guy do that? And then you look at a mod button, you look at an Axon, you look at why Surefire and Crane plugs are proprietary. Why, when you go to buy a Wilcox, you find more Crane plug options, because that's the switches. That's what's made it. So I don't know. It's cloning's not a bad wormhole. That's where my I'm going full circle. I'm sorry. I brain Finally, farted there. you I landed the brained. plane. There you go. We all
No,
survived.
that so when you put it in that context, yeah, that actually does make a lot of sense. When I hear guys talking about cloning, usually it's like dudes chasing down these very obscure scope mounts and weird parts to like complete the perfect Mark 12 clone, which I mean, if I had the money to do it and didn't have anything else I'd rather do, which will probably never happen, I would clone a Mark 12 and never touch it again. But when you put it in that
I did
context
that.
with the lasers and the devices, oh, you did, you built that. You
I
wasted the money
built
on that.
I have a few. I have the entire block program in production down to like the $15 gas pins from Cole.
Jesus. Okay, so yeah,
Yeah,
you're
no, I
that
get. I'm absolutely that guy.
guy.
That's what segued into night vision, because, like, I'm friends with some really cool people, and I have a lot of what I know. From playing airsoft competitively, shooting competitively, I've had the opportunity to kind of brush shoulders with people like Ty, but then also people that operate on a level that it's the elite. They are the best of the best of the best. They are the representation of Uncle Slam high dollar funding. And you see what they use, and again, why you do it. I mean,
It makes sense. I don't know. And it's kind of cool too. I mean, you kind of look at it and then you look at what's necessary and you look at all the 900 questions about night vision that we get on a given day. And it's like, we'll go back to the basics a little bit and we go from there and we can kind of figure out what you need, I
Yeah,
guess.
I mean, well, because if you look at, I think especially in the last 5 or 6 years, and I don't know if it's because everybody got that influx of cash during COVID or not, it does feel like we've seen a large a spike, right, in night vision offerings, housings, laser, like certainly the laser space, I think has blown up in the last 2, 3 years. You went from having, I would say, probably a relatively small number of true laser devices, maybe 5, 7 years ago, right? And now, I mean, you can get, I mean, they're not probably not great, but you can get like those SMS units and stuff for $300. You can get the,
Stop. Don't, you're not allowed to talk now.
this is the, yeah, but I mean, but you can, right? Like whether, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that like those
If you got a
options
Ruger
exist
22, sure, yeah,
now.
okay.
And we have options like the, the Holosun lasers and stuff, which, maybe not the greatest, the legacy ones, the new Iris a little bit better, but the fact that we're actually seeing that innovation and the dollars put into that development by the companies shows that they forecast, obviously, right, a return on it. It's worth their time and money. And I think you're seeing night vision in general grow in ownership. That's why we have, companies like Nocturne Industries out there with like 12 different housings, and like people are investing
Easy.
in the space. Yeah. I mean, I don't, okay, it's probably not 12. I think they have like 7 though. If you count everything up, they have several. They have an impressive catalog.
They are, but if you include like the ANVIS variants, the PVS 15 variants, oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and there's definitely, again, like A and B night vision, they have a plethora of housings. I mean, if you really get down to the, oh yeah, A and B night vision has, I mean, if you could find them, but they have like, the mod, their RVM, all their whole RNVG line, which encompasses the same thing basically five ways, if you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean
Just
it's a
saying.
very similar design.
It's
So
flooded.
let's look at the concept that I really want to dig into. And was a, I don't want to say affordability. I think that's a terrible way to approach trying to buy night vision to an extent. Because then I get it comes down to dollars, everybody. But then you also get people that buy a, let me think for a second here, a surplus Omni PVS 14 blemmed, right? And then they get upset that they have battery connection issues, they have performance problems, and and then they want to,
Oh.
upgrade out of it, and they're upset that they spent the money on that instead of spending a little bit more to get into something nicer. But there is still ways to be a little bit more conservative financially, a little bit more frugal when you get into these devices. And I think everyone just assumes that your point of entry is 10 grand. I think everybody has that assumption about night vision, and it can
Right.
be, I mean, we know it can surpass that far and wide, right? But when we're talking about trying to actually get people in this space access to these devices, because it's a huge capability, Ad, I think there's a lot more opportunity there than what people realize, right? And that's, I mean, what do you, how often do you get those questions? I want to get night vision, but
Every
I don't
day.
know what I can afford for, I mean, let's say 4 grand, 5 grand. Because I think with there's those builders out there, right? We don't have to name any
Yeah,
names,
of course.
but there's those builders out there charging $4,500 for a PVS 14 right now with a, Elbit tube. And it's like, okay, there's one way to go with it, but could I spend my money in a different way that's going to be better for me?
I think
You want?
there's. Yeah, I'll
Go
jump
ahead.
on this first. I think there's and the kind of philosophy that Shane and I have developed is just there's a way to approach the project. Obviously, you know that you're going to be, spending some money here and you got to set a budget for yourself. That's probably, number one. And I think the and other, YouTubers, podcasters, whatever have addressed this to an extent, but I think the lack of information out there, and it's growing rapidly, but is initially what people's first hang up is. The only information they have is maybe some YouTube content, maybe a Reddit rabbit hole of a million people's opinions about what's good, what's trash, and everything in between. Anything from, like you said, spend the 15 grand, buy once, cry once, or hey, make this in your dusty garage for 1500 bucks and it's just as good. And then there's obviously the everywhere else in the gray area in between. I think Shane and I approach every customer and every sale, and customer or not, anybody that gives us a phone call or chats with us online, which we handle all day, is our kind of flow chart approach. Decision tree is kind of how I brand it. It's a decision tree, and Shane, working in the automotive world, does this all the time with his diagnostics. So when we kind of came to this little illustration, it was like, hey, what do you need and want this for? Fun, hunting, LARPing, anything from CQB, indoor, outdoor, milsim, whatever. Okay, you have your general application and the environment that it's probably going to be, whether it's urban, suburban, etc. Okay, cool. Now, what features are needs versus wants in the tube and the housing? And that's usually like where they need the most help, because they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be jumping out of helicopters tomorrow, even though that's like the made up fantasy they have in their mind. But okay, we'll go down that. And then usually your budget. And once they say 3 to 5 grand, I can usually typically gauge and funnel you to 2, 3, 4 options to help you not have this constant analysis paralysis that we're always helping people through. Because people come with 15 options in their mind because they heard this one feature is good on this product, this feature, and that's not even letting me get to spec sheets and the death by spec sheet of, when people say, well, the SNR on this unit is this, the resolution on that unit's that, and they're just looking at spec sheets, for the end of time, and they never make a decision, they never make a purchase, and they never get into the game. But usually coming with an entry budget, we can kind of say, hey, based on your application, you can kind of nip and tuck in certain areas. Do you need a ballistic helmet? No, get a bump. That'll save you $1,000 right there, probably. Do you want a certain mount, or are you cool with, I don't recommend the airsoft mounts, but some people like to trust their goggles to those things, and that can save you a few extra $100 over G24. I personally recommend the G24 to everyone, but that's a little way to nip and tuck, and that might get you a better device at the end of the day. If you're just using it for hiking and stargazing and stuff, then yeah, you don't need a crazy high-end helmet and a crazy high-end mount. Just and then you could get the best device for your money, and then you could kind of move things around and categorically.
And I guess so. Here's my philosophy on it. No matter we have, if you think of Wolf of Wall Street, we have some of our sales meetings that are literally like a Wolf of Wall Street, like from the movie, with like screaming in the phone, people, it's we have a good act.
Minus
We have a
minus throwing midgets against the Velcro
No,
wall.
no midgets in the store yet. I mean, if we get a building, it might happen. But like in all truth, like fucking A. If I look at every single customer, I look at them all the same, or client, not customer. And here's the thing on this: the night vision industry, as well as the commercial side, it's coming. They're merging together. All these LEOs have Facebooks. All these PMCs have Facebooks. They're all out there. Everyone has access to all of this information. And I'm not saying it's not right or wrong and it's not good or bad. But when I get with like the sales team, and I have argued, I mean, one of the biggest arguments to date was giving up the Argus mount. We got into some partnership opportunities, and we've been, thankful to, work with some really awesome individuals and get an olive branch extended because we do the right things. And that's really kind of the important part of it. But back on track, all that aside, one of the biggest arguments was getting rid of Argus mounts and Argus housings. Ty loves the 1431. We fought over it for a week. And it's because we approach everything like this. With the sales team, it comes down to four questions. What are you doing with the device? Like Ty said, what are you actually doing with it? Do you need white FOSS or green FOSS? What person on the internet or family member, relative, or picture possessed you to affiliate yourself with this color? Because it's just a color. Yes, specs matter. Greens are inherently lower, right? But then the other one is it manual gain or no manual gain? What do you need? Like, what are, why do you think in your mind that you need manual gain, which it's fantastic, or you don't need manual gain? And then the last one is realistically, and by then the sales team has been, and myself, we've been taught and just banged to where we've already got your heading. We know where the ship's going. We're guiding the missile already. And they're going to say, hey, I only have a realistic one lately. I am an LEO guy and only got 10K. I need a laser. I need white FOSS binos. I have to have contacts, and I need the adapters. Can we make it happen? Yeah, we sent them with 15, 30, 15, 50 XLSHs.
Which are
Absolutely spotless clean.
so XLSHs are an intense fire tube that the Elbit makes, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
They are the commercial. I don't want to call it the bottom because it's not fair to the X slash. It's the tube with the most allowances for error.
Okay. And that's my first
That's a
PBS 14.
fair.
Yeah, my first PBS 14, I'm pretty sure, was an XLSH, and I had no issues with it. I think it was like
Same.
1800 FOM
Every
and
demo we have has X slashes in it. Every demo. Every
yes.
single one minus the two L3 variants.
Well, and I think, when people hear stuff like that, and again, you even stopped yourself and said, it's not fair to it. But when people hear it explained that way, oh, it's the bottom of the ladder for what Elbit offers, people immediately think that they need something better than that because they're going to have a degraded experience. And I've not used a ton. I think I've used PHs, a YH, and obviously XLSH, and then I've used some L3 stuff. and I
You got
would
to
not
see an
say.
M series.
Well,
You got to see an M series. That's what's in like the PBS 31 Delta. That's a people don't give Elbit credit, man. I've gotten the privilege of looking through a few M series tubes, and they are some outstandingly spicy little meatballs. I mean, you're talking 28, 53 FOM, 42, something like SNR. I mean, it was a banger. I think it came from Lesenia. It was a trade-in from Lesenia.
and that's what bothers me when I hear people online or friends that approach me, right? Oh, I've been told I have to get L3 tubes. And that's and hey, not a dig against L3. I think they make a
Not
damn
at
fine
all.
product. But I think that what if you are trying to, we'll say ball on a budget, L3 is not for you. Unless it's a secondhand item, which could be fine, right? I know in some instances you can
No.
get those, but you
Not
disagree.
necessarily.
I think the
Necessarily.
root of your question, though, always circles back to the lack of information and the death by spec sheet thing. Because, of course, obviously, when you know the specs are higher, yes, the image quality will be a little bit better. The performance in certain lighting conditions will be better. But at the end of the day, I think people lose focus or lose the idea of what night vision truly is, especially when you're talking about Gen 3 night vision. And they see these low numbers, and based on what they've read on the internet, they think they're getting a very subpar product. And they don't realize that this is still a superpower. You are seeing in very dark to pitch black environments. Like they think that, oh, it's going to be trash, and it's not. You're still getting a superpower that's light years ahead of, equipment that military and law enforcement have been using for years. Obviously, they're still actively being issued tubes that are in these spec ranges that we're giving them. So I usually try to remind people and reel them back in a little bit and say, hey, don't outkick your coverage here. Don't expect that. Like I was saying before, you're not jumping out of helicopters. You just need to navigate in the night. You're doing your milsim events, things like that. Okay, obviously, if you went in some deep dark cave, yeah, you're going to be struggling without some additional lighting sources like a umbrella light or an IR device or something like that. But even at these lower numbers, yeah, it might not be it's comparing a 4K TV to an 8K TV. They're still both
Well,
incredible images, just one's a little bit better. But even still on the top end, even though there are some outstanding image quality tubes out there is a diminishing return in my opinion when you get to that very high end of the spectrum of specs to value of price that you're paying too. So when you guys got come in with these lower slash mid-tier budgets that just want something realistic, you kind of have to remind them, hey, you're still getting the superpower. It just not, might not be that, that diamond vision that you're thinking of that you see in the movies and video games. It might just be slightly less, and even still, it's going to be outstanding.
So, Ty, let me give you a good example. I'm going to give him a good example. So, everybody sleeps on, because of the housing, because of the lenses. Everybody sleeps on Anvises. If you find a factory Anvis set, there's a certain manufacturer that everybody goes El Poco Loco for, and they're coming out now and, issuing a little slap, maybe, allegedly. That's the ether, right? Those are usually their tubes, and most of them, they have a pretty big contract with them. And when you go on ASU's website and you look at tubes, or you call them, they're 14 to 1600, they're 14 to unlimited. And if you really like hone out, look like export, it's 14 to 1600 FOM. Your typical Omni 7, Omni 8, Omni 6. which 6 and 8 are the same. Sorry to, a little bit better technology. Obviously, in the photocathode and the wind plate, we're not going to discount that. And obviously, advances in balancing it. But again, if you don't go down the wormhole of understanding how this all came about, you miss out. Like, a big thing is everyone's like, I want an Omni-7. This is a great example. Everybody wants Omni-7. Yeah, there was slightly higher SNR minimums, but if I took a tube, and I did this to you when we met up, if I take a tube that is 1600 FOM, 1700 FOM, and I balance it across the spec sheet, and I only give it like a low res, like, let's say 54, but like that tube could, or 57, like an L3 comm spec, like you can get L3 comm spec tubes, like, those are still floating around. They're still around, available. They're not bad tubes. We had a thing with a customer, and people do, I want L3s. I want the best. I don't offer 18 UMs. We don't offer 20 UMs. We'll offer 20 UAs, 24 UAs in comm specs. And we offer comm specs only when they come in on a deal. And the reason that we do this is because if you want L3, right? And I'm not saying L3 is the best. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It all depends on what you're doing. Mission dictates gear. That's the path that it's all going to go at the end of the
100%.
day. So if you want a 31 alpha, I'll sell you a 31 alpha. It's decent margin. It's not, we're not going to, tax the snot out of you. I didn't do anything. I put it in a box. You got all the goodies and I ship it to you. You look through it. And here's a funny thing. Jules, our assistant here and our main aide, she looked through a set of 31 alphas that we got. And she's not, she builds more night vision than she uses. She adjusts and culminates more night vision than she actually has ever used. And because, obviously, but she's getting her experience through this. And she put those on and she goes, I wish I could have looked through these at night. This is the one set I really wanted to look through at night. And they have to go out the door because they're late. And they're not bad. I mean, but if you go with looking at what's available and you get through those four questions and you realize a budget, you can get great tubes. I like, it's one of my passions to mess with people at demo day and bring the lowest FOM, clearest, most balanced spec sheet tubes to the event just to mess with everybody there. Because everyone thinks they're like 2600 FOM.
So you mentioned at the beginning of what you're saying there, ASU. And I know
Yeah.
you and I have talked about this a little bit before, like offline, obviously. Can you explain to the listeners what ASU is and the significance behind what they do?
So ASU, there's the night vision industry as a whole is a very niche space. Obviously, there's only two tube manufacturers, right? Elbit and L3, as far as Gen 3 night vision goes. And then ASU is the company that flight certifies goggles. They are, one of the bigger Hoffman Engineering dealers for all you night vision nerds out there. They're the people that can give your company the ability to flight certify goggles. So that $3,000 Anvis that you saw on Facebook Marketplace, if it was flight certified, it's a $13,000 goggle, brand new.
Jeez.
13 grand for that little plastic Anvis. Why? Because of the technology in the lenses and the image intensifier tubes. It might be, let's say we threw it in a 110D, or you would get probably, if I had to stab at it, I mean, if it was green, you're probably only hitting like 1800, maybe. I mean, on an average, I mean, Uncle Sam, and this is my point. If you, not everyone in the army has 31 alphas, GPNVGs, EN, the new ENVG, right? Most of your, what's in your armory is PVS 14s, old,
Oh,
huge
yeah.
past 2023s, all this stuff. So, but at the same time, when, we have a really good client and a guy we sponsor, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Weiss, to mention him, he's fantastic. But, we gave him a little PVS for a little Tonto with an 18 UM that was spotless. And it was just 1800 FOM, bare minimum. He tore it up at an international competition against everyone's deltas, because he's they usually use just a Dove 14 and they still place in the top 10. They got second place at that time. Little 1800 FOM, Tonto. in the hands of the right trained individual, it was a game changer.
So,
Lightweight, push button, simple.
when you get into some of these older devices, because they are still circulating, whether they're surplus units, fell off the back of a truck, whatever, right? And people look at buying those because you can usually have them for more affordable prices. Are those, I don't know where the limitations lie. Are those intensifier tubes able to be swapped into newer housings if someone's
Yes.
like, hey, I want manual gain, or I want an onboard illuminator, or maybe they're running like a fixed bridge, like it was a Sentinel, right? And they want something a little bit lighter with a little bit more articulation. Those tubes can all be removed and moved into, I don't know, a katana, right? Or something like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, I guess these are Shane questions.
Yeah, that's more the technical side.
You
But
can
I
take, I mean, all
mean,
right, so.
it's not across the board either. You're not gonna throw a PVS 7 tube into a certain like this as long as the sizings are consistent, I guess would be a summary, and then Shane can
Well,
nerd out on those specs, but
it's so that here's a giant misconception. This is the smoke and mirrors of all night vision, right? Everyone talks about converting these old tubes. Come click on my website and convert the tube. What we're doing is we are fixing the gain. The tube is usually already auto-gated, and we are taking a resistor and soldering a resistor where the pigtail goes. It's a very small resistor. It's the size of like the tip of a pen almost. In retrospect, saying you got to be careful, you don't want to damage it, right? You got to have a steady hand. But that's what you're doing is you're fixing the gain. And what you do is you take a bunch of different resistors, all the ones that all the pseudo night vision gurus recommend to you, and you pick the resistor that you and your company or five guys think is the appropriate brightness, if you will. That's a good way to put it. That and yes, they can be converted, they can be put in. You can take a PVS 14 and you can take the tubes out of them, take your bridge pano setup, whatever your offering is, and you can put it in a modern dyno. The thing that limits you, and a lot of people, this is a question I get asked a lot, saying I got an L3 PVS 14, I got an Elbit 14. The power supplies are different. There are limitations. L3 uses two different power supplies, technically three. If you get into like Omni stuff and include that, but it's all really the same. They use two different power supplies, so if you don't match your L3 tubes correctly, or even when you do match them correctly, one I've had in a couple instances from the same exact lot of tubes, the gain will actually dip in and dip out not evenly. It'll
Yep,
be
I had that
close,
happen. I had that
yeah.
happen.
Well,
Yep.
and see, that's give and take too, like. When you get into like the weeds of selecting your night vision, right? And this is the greatest misconception. And I would talk to Ty on this, and Ty was encouraged me to kind of bring this up. When I look at, we do a lot of surplus gear. We take a lot of trade-ins. We take a lot of that stuff in and we procure it. And if we think something is not up to par, we take that into consideration, is a good way to put it. But that being said, we see a lot of we've I've seen everything from an Omni 3, in all honesty, and like early auto dating technology in an Omni 5. But what you're getting out of these Dove 14s, out of the Weekend Warrior 14, or like the old X Slash or ITT tube that's an import, if it's a Gen 3 tube, it's still made by Elbit, still made by L3. The only major difference is one is unfilmed, one is thin filmed. That's it. I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's it. They're all contract minimums. I mean, every grade of tube, even in the commercial side, it has limitations, as you brought that up with the X slash.
Yeah, I guess
Yeah.
just in quick summary, it's I mean, there's a the big, summary would be like there might be a with the older budget stuff, there might be a performance trade-off. That's your initial consideration. A lot of the older stuff won't have a spec sheet, especially anything that's Omni. You'll have the spec minimum, but you'll never know exactly what it's meeting, right? So might have
Correct.
some specs, might have some pepper, some blemishes, whatever. Might be more grainy or whatever of an image, depending on its age, how many hours of usage on it. It's coming from you don't know its history prior to it hitting your hand. So did
Correct.
the prior owner that traded it into us, did he run thousands of hours on it? Or was it kind of like, hey, I bought this thing, threw it to my safe and never really knew how to use it, never had an application. So then it's still very, very usable. And then as far as the older tech versus newer housings, there's ergonomic considerations with newer modernized features. Obviously, more moving parts, more modern features usually cost more money, whether you're talking about like articulation and auto pod shutoffs and all these cool, fancier, options that are coming out these days, but those will drive cost compared to something old, like whether it's just mil-spec 14s or an older bridged housing or anything like that. And then you're not going to have any type of real warranty when you're getting a tube that's from 2007 versus, hey, this is a brand new factory tube with a 5-year warranty that obviously adds
2
some value
years.
too, because we're going to stand behind that product wholeheartedly, because it's straight off the assembly line versus a an unknown origin type of thing. So all those things kind of factor into when somebody's looking for budget and kind of how cost ends up getting geared
Yeah.
for retail.
So how often though, let me ask you, and I don't know if you guys even be able to answer this, but talking about those surplus devices going back to, 2007 and stuff like that. With the stuff you see come in, come out, as well as just like observations online, I'm sure you guys have seen a whole ton. How often do tubes truly die and just get to the point of just not being usable? Because I think a lot of people have that fear that they're going to buy this device and in 5 years it's going to be obsolete and they have to invest again. And it, you know, I mean, there's a lot of myths and then people do their own amount of I'll say catastrophizing. Like they just make a lot of broad
Yes.
assumptions
Yes.
that really hurt them in the overall journey.
We've talked about this, and it makes me laugh. So, and I've said this about your brother, because I think it was your brother. He was like, "How many hours?" I hate that question. And I'll tell you, like, it's like a neurotic deep hate, because if I take again, great example, Anvis. Imagine the amount of flight hours that are mandated on that goggle in its life
Oh,
cycle.
yeah. Yeah,
I
probably a
mean,
shitload.
but and then by the time, let's just say it falls off a turnip truck and gets picked up by somebody, Slick Willie, and gets sold to the Facebook, marketplace, right? Then that guy pulls the tubes, they go in a katana. The tubes don't just disappear and like die off like Duracell batteries. I mean, tubes are very similar to like your eyeballs and how they work. If you stare, and this is a comparison I use all the time, if you stare at a light and for a certain amount of time, you're going to get a spot, right? You're going to see a spot, you're going to have that. Well, if you stare long enough, it's permanent. Weird, I mean, if you're it's the same thing. If you smack your eye, if you it all depends on the use. But like, again, Anvis, million flight hours, Anvis 10s, those are super cool to quad to get into, that are floating around. Those Anvis 10s, dude, they have A10 Warthog hours on them. I mean, you're talking anything from strafing runs in Afghanistan. I mean, or hours of training, I mean. And the tubes are fine. They work great. I
Yeah,
mean,
and I think people also think that their tube's just going to instantly die and just like shut off into blackness. And it's like, no, just the image quality will degrade, kind of like when you age, right? Just like Shane's, illustration with your natural eye. Like, you can get tens of thousands of hours out of a device. And, it depends on if there's any excessive light exposure, how frequent you're using them, the environment. Are you storing them properly? Are you storing them with
correct.
batteries in versus battery out and battery management? Things like that will all play a factor, but just the Generation 3 tubes, and with their, I guess, modern technological improvements, and with whether they're
Technological.
thin film or filmless, things like that will also play a role into it. But I pretty much tell everyone these things are probably going to be usable. They're
Well
going to be
past your
much more
use.
usable than you're going to use them. I've never even burned out a pair. And I've used some older stuff before. Not like I use them frequent enough to burn them out, but like you're talking serious amounts of usage. And to Shane's point, yeah, if they're training pilots on these things,
The hours is egregious. I mean, and here's the other thing too. Like, you're leaving. I mean, your night vision. Like, when you let's say you have a scar or a blem or a mark, you leave them on. You put them in the box. You run them till really the battery dies, right? And then you pull them out, and usually the imperfection's gone. And then you go from, "Oh, my goggles ruined," to, "Oh my God, my goggles like new." That was a close one. I just did it the other day to, love you, John Rosner. I did it the other day. It is like the hardest tubes I've ever had to like procure for somebody. They had to be bleach white spotless. And I almost did it to his because I was sitting there and I got a phone call and I went outside and I went, good God, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, all right, I got a black box them. If I got to warranty this L3, damn it, you son of a bitch, you know. And luckily I called Ty. I was like, so hey, I fucked up, but it's okay and we're fine. And he's like, you dumbass. And I'm like, I your life, dude, busy, you know. We
Yeah,
try
it
to answer
happens.
the phone call. Yeah, we try to answer the phone,
So
especially
we've talked,
customers call.
I mean, we talked a lot here about the Gen 3 stuff. Is there anything worth mentioning when we talk about Photonis? Because it gets thrown around a
Yes.
lot, especially I think when people are looking at budget and affordability, right? They are more affordable than Elbit tubes. And I've never used a set of Photonis. I know that there's some disadvantages to the I don't really understand the Gen 2 plus thing. I think it's mostly just that they're missing auto gating. But if people look at, either I think
Auto
the
gated.
Viper, like the Viper
They're
is
auto
their
gated.
housing and stuff. Oh, they
Yeah,
are.
they're auto gated. Yeah, so all right. I'm gonna stand on a hill now. I can't hate Photonis tubes anymore. And I'm gonna blame the greatest sales representative in the history of the universe, Mr. Corey Myers from Nocturne. I used to I am known to be the Gen 3 guy, but I don't hate Photonis tubes. I don't necessarily hate NVTs per se. They have their place in the world. I'm going to take Kevin's caveat on that. Everything has its place in the world. How about that? But
Yeah.
as far as Photonis tubes go, so Photonis just dropped out. They're going to come out with the 5G, right?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 5G is going to be, you know, their latest iteration, their latest photocathode, their latest wind plate, you know, the new and the greatest. And that's all that's really like getting better in these tubes, right? They're just figuring out a way to, I use the analogy this, instead of garden hosing the photons into the gas, right? They're finding a way to filter it into the gas, so you're rendering the image, you know, better. That's just the better way to put it. You're rendering the image better, and that's what all the tube specs mean to get in the beginning anyway. But Photonis is, they all have their purpose. I mean, if you're somewhere really urban, and we just had a customer that we sent him a badass Elbit, man. I mean, this thing was 2363 FOM, 0.1 EBI, 0.65 halo. I mean, just, you know, 72 res, you know, it was a good tube. And he hated it because in urban environments, the tube was so sensitive that it would easily, you know, I don't want to call it scarring, but, you know, it would easily scar on the tube. And it was really distracting for him. So we gave him a set of NVTs. I didn't want to, but we did. My hand was twisted. But for what he was doing, those tubes like that ambient light. They love that, you know. I mean, if you're on the range, you're shooting night matches, you're going out like it's beautiful in Michigan right now, right? If you and the wife are going to go walk the dog, look at the stars, maybe go to a night shoot next weekend, there's no reason that a set of Photonis tubes won't do the job. We just recommended a set of Photonis tubes to a PD in a state just south of us because they're going to be going from a cornfield to running into a barn. And because that's going to be so quick, you know, in the light transition, that Photonis tube is going to work just fine. It's going to be a little gainy, you know, it's going to like that, you know, absolute darkness. But then when you get into that bright light, it's going to auto gate, it's going to be nice, crisp, clear, and you're not going to see the tube react as bad. I guess a good way to put it. I don't know how else to really explain it. It's not as harsh, if you will. I don't think so. Because sometimes Gen 3 tubes, when you get into lighting areas, they auto gate really hard. And it's almost like it's somebody just hit the dimmer too hard for you, if that makes sense.
So do you think that people would be at a disadvantage then? I mean, if you're so like I think what people look for, right, is they're realistically they're doing some training. None of us, no matter what, I'd say probably about 80% of people in this community, no matter what we tell each other, right? we're not out shooting at night as much as we want to be. We're not out using this stuff as much as we want. We just aren't. And people want
But
to
you
be able to sit
should.
there and you should, but you're not. It's kind of like eating healthy. Like most people don't, but they should. So, like, and everyone gets caught up in the labels, right? Like everyone wants to say they have some, 31 alphas, or they have, a set of like 2,500 FOM, L3 katanas or something, right? Everyone wants to be able to keep up with the Joneses, and they want to have the nice brand thing. But realistically, if you're just looking at like nitty gritty and performance, and I think, and Shane, I think to your point, like we went out and shot two weekends ago, I think, 2 or 3 weekends ago. And you brought out a couple units that were not top shelf stuff, but they
No.
all like, and I say like, I'll say like top shelf, like air quotes, right? They've all performed beautifully. I remember
No,
you were
you're
even
talking.
surprised by one of the sets. I think it was a DTNVS. You threw some tubes in, you go, and you couldn't believe what you had in it because the image, just the way it performed, was surprising. So.
Yes, it's balanced on the spec sheet. Like, so, we're in the middle of Michigan, right? Like, up in the thumb. It's overcast. I'm in the woods. If I take the goggles off, I can't see my hand 2 inches from my face. But if you build the tube, if you build the spec sheet, and by I say build the spec sheet, but if you stack the tubes appropriately and you choose the right tubes, you can do a lot of the things, if not all the things, that guys like your buddy. The number one phone call we get is, I have a buddy who's got 31 alphas. I got a buddy who's got MH1s, somebody I know with L3 tubes, somebody I know. And they say, I don't want to feel like I'm left behind. And I'm not, listen, L3, as far as the glass, the image intensifier, the 1610, the 1595, especially the 1610, they are the pinnacle. I mean, if you're talking like wartime warfighter goggle, like proven history, sure. But at the same time, the RPNVG's been around for a real long time. Nocturne has a contract right now for Chimeras, right? And their bridges. You look at A and B, these companies have, the bigger ones, they have contracts with those guys. And, Nocturne sells a lot of Photonis tubes. And they're like blend units and stuff like that. I think you got buddies that have probably bought from them. I don't know. But they're not bad tubes. They're really not. I mean, and even if you're gonna buy like an X Flash, you're gonna buy, a set of Omni Greens, having a pepper, having a small blemish, you're not gonna ever see it, right? It disappears in the wild.
You
I
look
mean,
past that.
especially, yeah, well, dude, the tubes that I brought you, every single one of them had a zone two blem, 0.009, zone three, zone two, and the one guy with, that was running the mono, we gave him, I think, a set of, that Manny core, by the way, that illuminator's egregious.
Oh yeah, you worked out range with that. You like, I just impressed the shit out of myself. Look at this. I didn't even grab
That
this on purpose.
like, dude, but if you, and that's another point too, right? One of the things that I tell customers, right, and this is my catchy slogan, and some of the guys listening in on this are going to laugh. You want to be able to fight the Russians, right? But are you? Right? I mean, I'll just say it, right? And I'm going to tell you, from working with PMCs that are over there, if you have Gen 3 night vision, no matter who it was supplied by, and you're they're gonna it's like it's fish in a barrel. What you're getting, and this goes back to the ASU thing, what you're getting out of that intensifier versus what, and even again, Photonis Gen 2 plus stuff, I can throw it in there. What you're going to get out of those specific three manufacturers versus what you could get on the alternative, it's night and day difference. I mean, you can even put up your phone to a Gen 2 tube and try and take a picture through your tube, and you'll see the tube really reacting to it. To that light that's coming off your phone. I hate taking pictures of Gen 2 tubes. Like, if I have a Gen 2 trade-in, my eyes roll into the back of my head, and I'm more irritated about taking the photo than anything else. This guy can call me 15, 20 times. I'm just sitting there praying to God he doesn't ask me for more tube photos. I'm being serious. because it's just, it's a pain. They're like, you get the little hexagons like flying at you, like you're playing asteroids, and you're like, dude, can I just take the picture? I want to feed the dogs. Like, you know, that's just, you know, go ahead, Ty.
I'll just say, yeah, kind of like in summary, the Gen 2 Plus, I mean, definitely has its place. Being in like urban South Florida, playing around with those, like feeds off like the you know, Fort Lauderdale, Miami kind of like light, you know, as far as
Detroit,
like
downtown
yeah,
Detroit.
radiates from the cities. But I also like to harp on the fact that just because something is quote unquote Gen 2 Plus, or even if it's a little bit lower on the spec range, like it kind of comes full circle to it's still a superpower. You know, like a budget setup will get you, you know, 80% of the way to what you want to be. And then obviously you can fine tune it with crispier specs or maybe a little bit more feature rich housing, or something like that, or a little bit more high end of a helmet or a mount, whatever. But just because it's entry level doesn't mean it's an ineffective tool. It's still gonna accomplish what you need. Obviously, there is a little asterisk there where the specs on those Gen 2 Plus tubes, outside of the new 5G that's just been, you know, dropped that we haven't gotten our hands on yet, but so that's TBD. But outside of what like Photonis and NMVT is pumping out currently and like the past generations, there's give and take, but that's why they're at the price point that they're at as well compared to an Elbit or L3 too. So it's
And they're
not,
close. They're
yeah,
close.
they're close, but obviously, you know, it's like anything in the world, whether it's
This is a Shane and Ty
car
argument.
performance, yeah, car performance or whatever. I mean, it comes down to your application really, because I can't say to the guy in the rural, you know, rural Midwest, whatever, that his Photonis is going to perform the same as, you know, my neighbor right here in South Florida. So that's where we kind of curate and customize our approach when we're going to help people and we're on the phone with them and stuff. And we try to, you know, draw that illustration in their mind and kind of bring it to life for them and say, hey, what are the real answers and applications to these questions so that I can give you my best opinion to help you out here.
Well, yeah,
So let
and
me.
like, go ahead.
Oh
Go ahead.
no, go ahead, Shane. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Because like, so for instance, like it's no secret, like you were talking about Photonis tubes. If you want to buy, like let's just say you can't afford a 31 alpha and you're stuck on it. And I keep picking on the 31 alpha because it's the benchmark, it's the gold standard, right? If you want a factory like in the box device with cut, it's no secret, it's a Gen 2 Katana. It's made by Nocturne. That's Photonis Echo tubes. It's what, you know, the French friggin' Foreign Legion uses, for Christ's sake, or whatever, right? You know, it's not bad. Okay. And if you want to feel like that camo case and that the little knickknacks and goodies from the factory, it's not a bad option. But as soon as you want to cross into, you know, hey, I'm going to be playing Airsoft, American Milsim. I'm going to pick on Wayne Milne here for a minute because I love him. You know, he's a guy that got his green card, came over here, but does Milsim, does Airsoft. And we went back and forth over a set of Vipers versus a set of phone. And actually, Ben got involved, which was really funny. And the question was, if you're using them in low light situations, you're going to want a Gen 3 Elbit XLSH, something like that, you know, a green FOSS, something Gen 3. If you're going to be mixing it up and doing, you know, Milsim CQB, you know, you could get away with a Photonis tube there. And by get away, I mean, night vision's like guns. As soon as you taste the nectar, you're not running away. I had a customer just hit me up and he was like, I need a budget set of binos, blah, 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 blah. And this guy was just harping, harping, harping. He just hit me up today and he goes, hey, Shane, can I get a custom white FOSS clip on? And I'm hitting up my guy that's got clip on housings and I'm going through tubes. So let's build him something nasty. You know, and on a that's reasonable, right? You know, Elbit's got into play on it, but you know, you can do so many things. It's we ran the going back to that Manny core that only has 1655, 1665 FOM SLHs in them, zone three blem zone, you know, in both 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock. We ran 35 people through a shoot house that have, I think, five of them use night vision. Nobody tripped, nobody fell, nobody missed any of the seven targets in 4 to 5 positions. They were all able to use the laser and see it. You know, nobody, it was never even unsafe, which is wild. We didn't even have a negligent discharge. Nobody flagged anybody. I was baffled because, I mean, again, this is like 30 to 40 people give or take, running through a shoot house in pitch black with night vision on. And like, I'm just waiting to call 911. Like, I had my phone on speed dial, ready to just push the button with an AirPod in. But the point is, and again, everyone asks, what tubes are those? And dude, they're just some normal SLSH, no different than you get in your Omni 8s. They're just white phos. It's a newer tube. It's got an improved photocathode, an improved wind plate, the improved glass, right? And it works just fine. I'm not, again, and I'm not saying that, one's really better than the other. It's really coming down to what you use. Because if L3 was the greatest in, in all regard, and Elbit was the greatest in all regard, you wouldn't have the 31 Delta. You wouldn't have the 31 Alpha. Those two alone right there, and the 1531, because it needs diopters. I mean, there's a reason that all those housings exist, because there's a reason that the Marine Corps picked the 31 Delta. There's a reason they went with Elbit. Whatever those million, that's maybe a Procyon Industries question, but to throw Zach out, but they chose that for us a reason. And I actually had the privilege of talking to a engineering tech who's a friend of mine over at Elbit, and he'll tell you, just wait, we're doing stuff, and it's going to be cool, and we're going to pop it off a little bit here on what Elbit can do. And they're constantly innovating. You're not going to miss the boat on buying, an XLSH, an SLH, a YH. Maybe if you can find a VH, get one. But you're not missing the boat on it. You're going to be still using night vision, able to go to your night shoots, be able to do police work. I mean, Ty's got Elbits in his work device. That was a funny conversation for like an hour. Did they sell me shit? Did they give my department shit? And we're on, NVD's website, right? We're looking and whatever. I'm like, no, bro, you got PHs. That'll work. Like, they're like 2600 FOM, mint, rock and roll. You know what I mean? But even Ty had concerns.
So when we're talking about fitting, I guess there's options, right, for all ranges of folks, truthfully,
Oh
right?
yeah.
So let so to revisit what you guys were saying at the beginning of the conversation, there's like four questions that you walk people through. Can we do that as an exercise? Like for people listening who may actually have those questions, they want to hear what this is going to be like, because I think there's an intimidation point, to a point where that, I don't know, it's a lot of money, I don't even know what I don't know, so I don't, you know what I mean? Like there's all kinds of different goofy reasons people never dip their toe in the pool, so to speak, right? And I think then they kind of psych themselves out of finding out what's really available and what's really out there. And certainly I think there's probably some companies that do a much better job with what we're talking about here, like tailor fitting a solution, including budget and everything, versus other companies that would just give you the, hey, this is what it costs. If you don't know what you want, then I can't help you.
Well,
Customer service is a big miss by some places, but could we go through that as an exercise right now, as if I was to call you guys and say, hey, I'm looking for night vision, can you help me?
yeah, and we can do that. And I just want to preface, like, it's the other spectrum too. It's not the people that don't know, it's the people that do know, they've used it, and they're getting ready to buy their first set, and they're sitting there and they're on, all these different websites. They're in the builder and they're reading things they don't understand because they're getting pounded by YouTube. They're getting pounded by Reddit. You got your buddy over your shoulder. There's always one. All you people out there that are buying night vision, you got that one friend. Okay. And, he's in your ear and everyone's in your ear. And by the time that you get to the point where you've spent 6 days researching, 2 hours on a custom night vision builder, not picking on Ben at all, I love him to death, but just any of it, and I'm sure he can relate to this question. I'm sure, ask Kevin this. By the time they get to all that, you call them at the end and you confirm what they got, and it's not even close. It's not even close. You pick super games, and blew out your budget.
Sure.
And and you could have. You might get divorced, for Christ's sake. You never know. I mean, I hope I haven't caused any, but there's been a few arguments I've heard in the background, on a phone call. But
Oh boy.
yeah, there's ways to spend your money, and try not to get lost in the rest of it when you know just enough to be dangerous, like yourself. Or if you know nothing, it's just as bad. They're the same. It's the same evil. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So if
Todd,
I
you
were
can answer
to,
the phone call.
yes, I mean, we don't have to like, we don't have to role play. Like, so when I worked in customer service and finance, I hated role playing. It was my absolute least favorite thing to do. We don't have to role play, but if I were to call you, Ty, right, and ask for help and guidance on this, I mean, how do you, I know you guys have those four questions, the way you steer yourself or steer the conversation. So if I call and reach out, what's the first thing you're asking me?
New phone, who dis? No, I mean, I just try to keep it real, and I constantly I share my experience as a kind of like I was explaining my initial jump off point with the the COVID purchase, right? That was just my own money, and I went down the rabbit hole. I researched all the way to analysis paralysis. So I was that customer for a little bit. I eventually bought my first 14 from Steel
Still are.
Industries. Yeah, for real. Bought my first one from Steel Industries because they're a Florida company, and so it was, I used their little builder, and but I did the whole spec sheet thing, and but the more I got the, and that's because of lack of information, I guess, and lack of experience. But the more I got hands-on with different devices and got to see capabilities and what the real difference is between performance metrics and things like that, that's where I kind of came to respect and appreciate, like, okay, I understand why I was that customer, and then I try to put that. That hat on the person that's calling me saying, hey, I'm Ty Morgan from 4 years ago. I have 5,000 bucks in my hand. What do I do? And kind of to Shane's point, initially, they've done their research, but they're still scared to pull the trigger. So I try to be that, hey, I've
They're
used this on a
overwhelmed.
rec they're overwhelmed. I've used this on the recreation side. I've used it on the professional side. Let me share with you and kind of hone in on this thing. And that's when I pretty much say, the first question of the flowchart is, what are you using this for and where at? Where are you located and what do you want to do with this thing? Is your life dependent on it or are you just going to have fun with the boys a few hours a month on the flat range? Okay, now I got that you're a recreational user slash maybe a hunter that likes to shoot some hogs or, some coyotes or whatever. Okay, cool.
Don't
So.
downplay it. Don't downplay it though, because there's a lot of people. We had a customer yesterday and he's LEO and he does rescue stuff. And he's like, Shane, because he's coming as a, from a combat veteran standpoint. Okay. So he's used to getting shot at with night vision on. To him going to find, Abigail in the woods because she's lost, that is not the same in his mind scenario. But bring him back to reality a little bit, brother. That's still very important. You need a high-end goggle. You need a Gen 3 device. You're going to be in the woods. You have to kind of bring, again, it's a balance, right? The best way to put it is you're guiding the missile. So don't underplay it. Like when you call us, be straightforward. Like I pick on customers all the time. I'm like, I'm not your doctor. What are you going to do with it? Are you doing hood rat shit or what?
If I call and I, hey, I'm looking for a device, I use my
What's the
buddy
Dell?
and I really the what?
What's the Dell is what I would say.
I don't understand. Is that supposed to
Your
be because of my
last name's
last name?
Deal. Yes.
The mispronunciation kills me.
I
So
know it does.
if I called and said, hey, I'm looking to do some, I want to train with my buddies. They all have it. I have night vision. I want to get night vision. I think that I want white FOSS because that's what everybody else has, but I will take green if it's a good deal.
Like
And
it.
I'm in Michigan, so we get, a full spectrum of different weather experiences and things. And I want duals with articulation. I don't know if I need manual gain or not. So where do I fall in that?
His name's Trevor, by the way. The customer's name is Trevor.
Hey, that is my brother.
So, I mean, we'd probably say like, hey, there's the Nocturne Industries katana. It articulates. It has just a simple
My
on-off
sweetheart.
button. There's no manual gain. So if you don't really want to have that ability and you don't really care to have to dial the brightness to your eyes, if your eyes aren't too sensitive, you're not your environments are relatively pretty consistent. Then you just want to do plug and play on-off. That's all you want. Then like the katana would be a good option. Maybe like a Nocturne Manticore, which also articulates. Has those premium features with the auto pod shut off, but it does have the manual gain. And then maybe like an MH1 from Low Light Innovations has articulations. And there's also durability things we might ask you, saying based on your application, do you want a more ruggedized version or like a standard polymer-based version? So if you're going to be super hard on it, maybe you go for the one that's made out of an aluminum or a magnesium alloy type of material versus a polymer-based housing. So you're getting a little bit more durability, but you add a little bit of weight. And we just try to explain all the features and options without you having to go down and do 2 months worth of reading. You know, we can kind of summarize it. So kind of like my illustration earlier, if you're saying binos, and in your mind you have 10 sets of binos on a table in front of you, I'm going to take away, based on your answers you gave me, I'm going to take away six of those and say, hey, let's just look at these four, without you keeping, you know, regressing and going back in the rabbit hole and thinking, oh, well, what about this? What about this? Let's just, we try to refine it for you as much as possible. So then you can say, okay, half that stuff isn't applicable, or I don't want it, or doesn't, you know, matter to me. And then I can make a decision off of what makes sense. It's kind of like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. You know, you got everything to choose from. You get analysis paralysis. I spend 2 hours on the phone with you, and then you're still even more confused after it, or more unsure. And then it's like, well, now you're going to go back and spend hours and hours and hours reading again, and or splitting hairs over $100 price difference between two other, shopping carts that you built online. And it's like,
Right.
well, I'm trying to reduce that for you. So,
It was a real
save your
life client
energy, save
experience.
your time, save your reading. Let me help steer the ship a little bit. And, rather than you spending 20 hours reading, if at a decent hourly rate, that $100 ends up being nothing. I know you want you it without having these things on the table in front of you to actually, like a demo or something would obviously be the best case scenario, but we try to paint that picture in your mind. So you say, okay, I'm still not going to have this, like, I'm still going to have get what I want, even though I never got to handle it prior to purchasing it. And when it does show up, they're still equally happy with it. And that's the trust factor that we have with them. And we try to build that rapport with this kind of interview process.
Yeah,
Yeah. And I
it's
think,
all, go ahead.
I would say that's just the tough part, 'cause I think everybody wishes they could do it kind of like the concierge scene in John Wick, you know, where
Right.
you can handle them, you can look through them, you can try them. And, you know, I mean, I know there's a decent number of events that are held. I mean, I know here in Michigan, there's at least a couple. Shane, I think you host some of them.
Yeah, some of the night matches, and then there's ACT. But
Yeah.
and not to interrupt you, Austin, I know it's your podcast, my bad, dog. But no, but like to kind of back up what Ty's saying, the customer already knows he has a vision in his mind. So, and it's the same vision, right? It's selective outcomes on Instagram, Allied Thread Co., Forward Observations Group, Team Mish, that, I mean, Austin, and the Prepared Mindset and
No, it's not
his
me. They're
book.
definitely not looking at me going, "Hey, I want to be just like
I don't know, man.
that guy."
Some of your followers, I keep telling you, some of your followers, but my point being is, and they even ask me, people ask me all the time. And again, my night vision experience, it comes from, shooting fast, or even just all of it. I'm no different. I'm an average guy, right? I'm not Ty Morgan. I would love to be Ty Morgan, some days a week, but I am
I'm
not
just
Ty
a
Morgan.
very average, underpaid, overly good-looking police officer. That's it.
He's my real life Ken doll, I swear to God. But no, I mean, if you, I always try to think of, I don't want, I'm trying not to curse and be me at the same time while being me.
I mean,
If you
why not?
don't overthink it, well, no, if you don't fucking overthink, I
I
love
mean,
Michigan. I love Detroit, and I love it for that, because living in the city, it gives me that, because there's some dude on a moped that just blasted egregiously with no muffler on it, and God bless his heart, because he's not going to get stopped by a cop.
no,
But
we didn't hear any of that. It didn't come
oh my
through,
God,
but.
that's crazy, because that was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. No, so like, if you if when I get to the customer and he has his vision, right? And he's explaining to me, all right, Shane, I'm going to be doing night vision shooting. My buddy's got L3 tubes. My other buddy's got an Elbit PVS14. It's super high spec. It's super crispy and clear. But I got a buddy who's got some Omnis, and he got them from any of the Facebook people that you want to
Sure.
name in the top four, right? That sell that stuff. They got a blem, and I don't really care. What do you think? And I already see, here's how I look at it. Okay, they're practical a little bit, so they understand that, like, there's imperfections, especially if they can pick up on like an L3 spec sheet where there's literally a box that says, hey, we allow for dots. Like, doesn't matter how many there are in there, there could be 100. We're going to check that box, and that's what you get. And you don't see it on their circle. No, it's you won't see it until you see the tube in front of you or you look at a picture, right? And even then, I hate to say it, the phone, even though the iPhone's the best thing to take a tube photo with, it still leaves a lot out. I still get, but hey, did you see this? Or there's shadowing here. There's an undiscerning light spot, you know, bright spot. Da 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 da. You know, you kind of figure out, okay, is this customer practical, or are they looking for the Gucci ridiculous high end? You know, the vision in their mind, and you got to bring them back to earth a little bit. But usually, they have a housing in mind. You know, is it's, you know, a lot of people like 1431s. I know you have a set, right? You know, you're getting everything that, you know, a 1531 has minus like two or three features. But nobody's telling you, hey, you don't want a 1530, you don't want a 1431 because the left pod might turn off on accident, you know, or you might have, you know, and it's a common issue. You know, people don't realize that and they don't say that. Like, I just opened up a device last week and Ty and I are sitting here going, we're screwed because somebody bought the tubes that were inside it. And we opened it up finally in the shop, and the retaining rings are super glued in on a 931. And the reason they're super glued in is because the rings walk. It's a common problem. The Chinese housing isn't perfect. It's close, but it's not perfect. And you know, we did a guy, we had a client. He sent his stuff to another person. He called me because several people recommended. Thank God, thank you, everybody. And they were like, hey, you know, I'm going to go across the pond and do some work for Uncle Sam. This is what I got. And I'm like, yeah, you can't have that. You can't have that at all. You need something rugged. You need something that, you know, and you ask them the questions. Do you have a helmet light? Like, think about it. Like, Austin, you know, that Manticore, do you really need a helmet light with that illuminator if you're not
No.
getting in force on force?
No,
You
I would
just
think not.
no. And even like the MH1 with both dual illuminators on, do you really ever turn your helmet light on, or is it there for an aesthetic?
I don't even have a helmet light anymore. I took it off when I got that housing.
Yeah, well, there you go. Because it makes sense. People get this image in their mind, and this is now we're going to go down to Shane and Ty argument at 9 o'clock at night. You know, people have this preconceived notion in their mind. I need this because I've seen it. I don't, I usually, you know, me personally, you know, I'm a huge Nocturne fan. I run a Katana for the reason that I don't like to run all the time a battery pack. The battery pack is totally mission dependent. If I'm up north on Drummond Island hunting, you know, not changing my batteries out, focusing more on eating, sleeping, camp, things like that, yeah, I run a battery pack and I turn it on and off. In all of my other night vision experiences, and even then I still have batteries and I change them out usually before I go out in the blind or I go out into a night shoot. It's just practical maintenance. I mean, Ty Morgan's not just going to grab his bag, you know, skip off for Lieutenant Colonel Brian Weiss over here. He's not going to skip off over into the sunset and then just plop all his shit on. No, you're going to function check it. You're going to change out your batteries. You're going to oil your boat carrier. You're going to do all these things in this system of check. So, you know, maybe instead of, and this goes back to your point, circling, instead of spending the money on, you know, like this tube, whatever it is, or this spectrum of FOM, right? Or getting death by spec sheet, if you go, okay, let me get a MGA housing. I'll throw some L-bits in it. Can I change those out later? Absolutely. 100%. If they're a reasonable night vision company, they're going to buy your tubes back if they're in good condition. Likely most people, because they don't use their night vision, you will likely or enough, or you used it enough and you have common sense, but accidents happen. You're going to that company will buy your tubes back, or they'll trade them up, or they'll give up, you know, they'll get funneled to the Facebook marketplace and sold. You know, we liquidate used devices all the time, and we still put a warranty on them for at least I think it's 1 year on a used intensifier. If it depending on the housing manufacturer, we'll extend lifetime housing and glass, depends on who it is. But you know, that there's nothing wrong with either buying a used device too. I mean, if you see, there's plenty of people out there that buy night vision, and this is the caveat, right? They buy these Gucci setups, and then eventually they realize they have an epiphany, however it comes about, that they don't use it enough. You don't use it enough. It's time to sell it, move on, maybe go down to a mono, whatever it is, because you're trying to recruit cash to go to do something else that's different. And that's the commonality. I mean, my solution is okay, hey, let's get you a laser, let's get you a helmet, some peltors. You should buy a suppressor. It might make a difference. Here's a bonus round. All EOTechs you can see use with night vision. Don't worry about buying an XPS 3 right now. Just turn it down a little bit. You'll still be able to use it just fine. And let's get you a helmet cover. Let's get you the things that you want that fills the role of you looking cool but remaining functional. That's.
To piggyback off of an old T-Rex Arms video, like when they were like, "Hey, dude, it's not cool to have a safe full of like 15 different rifles of all your grandpa's stuff. What can we do to get you operational? Like, it's no good to spend to blow your load on a $10,000 bino and then be like, all right, man, are you like let's look at your helmet options and mounting options." And they're like, "That's all I got." And I'm like, "Well, you're gonna run around binos in your hand? No. All right, so let's take out $2,000. Let's get you a helmet. Let's get you a mount. Let's get you some accessories. Let's get this thing fully operational, and so that you can go and actually play and have fun instead of, oh, well, I got these binos now, but I gotta leave them in the case for 2 months while I save up to buy my ballistic helmet or and a mount
Dude,
and all
all
that
the
stuff too,
time.
which happens more than you think. So, I mean,
Oh my
getting back
God.
down through your little purchase funnel, we'd throw out those couple housing options, and then we'd be like, all right, man, then we go over the tubes, kind of like we briefed on earlier, tube specs, tube quality, things like that. And you said, "Hey, man, I'm roughly around $6,500." All right, well, then that might be that 1600 FOM Elbit X slashes and a katana, or name X, whatever other housing, and we put those in front of you, and then you're like, all right, I'm ready to pull the trigger. They might have to read up on something, or we would just send them a little bit of information on each housing just so they know, but we pretty much simplify it to say, hey, this is what we would best recommend for your application. And to Shane's point, with the whole night vision stuff not getting used, it's the same thing on the laser side. It's the same thing on everything. When people have that image in their mind where they're like, "Dude, I need an end goal because I saw it on a photo and I need
And
it." And I'm like,
if
all
you
right.
do, you do. If you do, like I'm a
If
cloner.
you want
If
to
you do,
spend
you
it, then go
do.
cool. But at the end of the day, like, we try to reel you back in. If the budget dictates that you're not in end goal territory, unless you're gonna, sit on the sidelines for a while with an incomplete setup, then we try to reel you back in and say, well, maybe, especially with these Chinese lasers coming out these days that are, 75 to 85% of the performance of the full power American stuff. And I'm not gonna speak on the durability of them, but as far as power output and things like that, it's hard to justify a $4,000 end goal when I can get a maybe an Iris or a laser speed M6TR for 700, 800, 900 bucks. And for your application, trying to circle the drain here, those will do just as good for you. For and then you can always upgrade, but hey, just getting you in the field with some night vision and run around, it makes more sense to go that route.
Oh God,
So,
I'll have to share this picture with you later. I just about died. I almost just lost it. It's so funny. All right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
with that, because I know we're coming up against it for you guys. If people have these questions, if people want to reach out, they're interested, right? Or I know we have a decent amount of listeners here in the Southeast Michigan area that, they're interested in purchasing, but they're those kinds of people they need to get their hands on or something before they, commit something like that. Where can people find you guys online? I know you have Instagram and I know you have a website. What are those? Where can people reach out and get a hold of you guys?
Ty, I'm gonna steal it because I'm the marketing man. I love you.
Well, if you're in Broward County, Florida, just call 911.
Yeah,
Oh, Jesus.
for real. No, no, no,
You'll get
no. Yeah, I'll just put my beacon up. I'll put the big dog. I'll put the tusk in the sky, and Austin can maybe drive walk 7 minutes. No, I mean, so here it is. We do things a few different ways. We do a drop in night vision every about once a month. We'll release a few devices. They'll be on the website. We peg it all over. Get in the Facebook groups. If you're out there looking for night vision, And I'm gonna say it. Okay, everybody else has said it. Duncan said it. Kevin said it. Stay the hell out of Reddit. Use it to like get like the like Rick's glass is not the best. They're not wrong. Okay, it's factoid, common sense. But like, go in the Facebook groups. I will engage. I will engage with you. Ben Herons, you know, from Custom Night Vision will engage with you. His Facebook name. You know, Kevin Holland might spice it up. You know, Joe Quinn from Dark Industries is there. We're all in these spaces. Nick's Night Vision. Everybody's in there, right? And the community's supposed to be what it used to be, and I think is working back towards. And that's with the help of the consumer, is you guys demand a standard, right? You've been there, ask the questions, ask the hard questions, go on our website, you know, hit the contact button, go, you know, hit us on email. You can hit our Instagram. Watch for the night vision drops. Those are all procured tubes, devices, specific specifications that I issue to manufacturers that I want in those tubes. And we like they are procured. Like, yeah, there might be a blem or something, but if you're looking for something that's the all-around goggle, it's gonna be it's good. There's gonna be an option in there of that mix of devices for all over. You know, hit us up on Facebook. You know, my Facebook's always open, my DMs are open. You might die in there if you stay in there. But if you get a hold of us, we'll answer your questions, we'll take phone calls, we'll do this. I mean, I was on the phone with Austin, you know, after certain stuff leaked out, you know, for 2 hours, you know, just kind of talking about industry and changes and things that we're seeing and kind of how we anticipated it. But speaking to just that, you know, we're here, we're going to be here for the long run. You know, we're here to honor our 5-year warranty on intensifiers, our lifetime on housing and glass. We only use Fujinon Blue. If you get like a discount deal or something like that, it's specified. You know, we're open and transparent. We're the average Joes. You know, call me Peter LaFleur if you want. Of night vision, but that's who we are. We're not the overachievers. We're literally the underachievers that just use it a lot enough to have a good opinion, I guess. That's what I would say. You know, and everybody on the staff, they're all here. Bradley, Tyler, you know, even Jules. If you want to bug Jules in the shop and you want to talk to her on speakerphone and ask her what it's like putting together a PVS 14, let me know. I'll set up a call. And you can sit there and talk to her while she's tinkering with a 14. Seriously, you know, and you can ask her questions from somebody that knows just in a box. Like, you know, that's literally it. Like we take everybody, you know, even Derek, you know, Derek went to U of M for electrical hardware engineering. The man knows way more about electronics, image intensifiers, all the technical stuff of it, but his night vision use has been like just everybody else. He's my friend that got into it, so he's lived through me on this, right? Now he's got a helmet, now he's got a mount that's all his own, and you know, a set of Peltors. We're still picking his device. We haven't decided what it's going to be yet. And that's something that could take time. I mean, that's, you know, that's the truth. Bradley, we're still deciding what tubes to give, you know, that he wants, and it's an ongoing conversation because, you know, they're not rushing into it. So, you know, don't wait too long. You know, if the time's right, strike while the iron's hot. But at the same time, don't be afraid to ask questions. There's never a bad question. Your house is the most expensive. Your car is the second most expensive thing you're going to probably spend your money on, unless you're into Shitbox Nation like myself. Or you're going to be looking, and then finally, it's your guns and probably your night vision, that LMT in your safe. And if you look at that LMT, just like, you know, retrospect to close on, you know, going back to the cloning thing, look at what works. You know, don't ever allure from that. Like, everything that we're getting is the drippings, the thing that didn't make the cut for whatever reason. It could be Joanne was sick that day and she didn't make the signature, so Uncle Sam didn't get that one. You know, all this stuff is his technology, his ideas, and his things. So don't overthink it. If guys can go to Afghanistan, Ukraine, Fallujah, what, you know, whatever, and do and operate at a level, you're not, you know, how high speed are you? You're never more high speed than a Blackhawk pilot, so why do you need manual gain? Anvis 9's don't have manual gain. I'm just saying, food for thoughts.
TassNVG.com, TerraceUnitySolutions@gmail.com would be the shorter answer to that, Shane.
Yeah, well, sales at TassNVG, thank you. Well, dude, now you got me talking. I was like blindsided at first because Austin's like, "Hey, Shane, you're first." And I was like, "That's not what me and Ty talked about. Fuck, fuck, fuck. What do I say? I'm just gonna just go out here and say, hey, my name's Shane. We own a night vision company. Ty fucking saved me."
Well, all right. I mean, we got into a lot. I think you throughout the conversation proved that you know what you're talking about. So it's all good. But
Allegedly.
I do appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down, go through all this stuff, share the contact information, the context behind how you do what you guys all do. So appreciate the time. Great to sit down and catch up with you guys. I will obviously be in touch. So we talk all the time anyway. And maybe we'll do another one of these in the near future, boys.
Yeah,
Sounds
for
great,
sure.
man.
So cool getting to sit down with those guys. Finally getting to put a face to the name for Ty, and obviously getting to talk with Shane again. And he's been a tremendous friend and resource for me, like just trying to get a greater understanding, not of the night vision industry only, but like the devices, the science, the logic, the reasoning behind so much of this stuff. Because, and we touched on, I think, an awful lot from a very unique perspective in this conversation. And I'll be honest with you guys, we probably could have gone for another hour, really, because there's so much to it. We talked mostly about the devices themselves. We talked about, the PVS-14. We talked, I think we may have mentioned the Tonto housing. Those are kind of like the big two on single tube devices right now. And we talked a lot about, the surplus market and things like that, and how people can make sense of their own situation with their wants and desires, And I think Shane and Ty both did a great job articulating what we all think and feel when we first look at night vision. We think we want A, B, or C because that's what our favorite influencer, and I'm not trying to throw shade at influencers because they have brought a lot of visibility to these products and been, I think, largely responsible for a lot of the growth. And that's not trying to blow smoke or anything. I'm just telling you, we have greater visibility now into night vision and night vision devices than we did 5 years ago, than we did 10 years ago, or obviously much further. And thanks to those influencers, now we have the market driving in the direction that's going to help support folks like you and I and our mission and our goals to be more capable to be, night vision owners and users and be able to function with that equipment, in good ways. We think we need certain devices because that's what the influencers show us, because that's what they have based off of either their own wants and desires or their own purchases. And in truth, there's a lot out there. You can get older housings that are still decent. Like, is the PVS 15 the greatest thing, since sliced bread? No. Is it still serviceable? Yeah. I mean, you totally can still use that. It still runs, Anvis housings and things like that. Yeah, those are a little bit older. They're kind of a niche housing. If you guys don't know what the Anvis housing, ANVIS, go look it up. It's kind of, unique and different and cool. And we've seen a lot of evolution. We now have devices that probably 5, 10 years ago we wouldn't have dreamed of. Yeah, hey, we have fully modular night vision offerings with stuff like the Tonto and the Daisho Bridge from Nocturne Industries, or the MH1 from Lloyd Innovations, where it can, I mean, the MH1, I mean, what can't that thing do, right? You can install the equipment so it can pan outward, which previously only one housing on the market could do that. You can break it apart into two, single tube devices and put it back together and make one binocular housing. All kinds of good stuff. Like, this is in a lot of ways a renaissance in the night vision space. So there's a lot going on with it, and it can be overwhelming. And I think sometimes just figuring out that what you need for what you need is the hardest part. And I think that's where guys like, certainly, Ty and Shane come in. Obviously, we have a great relationship with the guys over at Custom Night Vision, Ben and Kevin. And Kevin was just on, a handful of weeks ago. Trevor's over there too. Those three guys running Custom Night Vision, fantastic company that support us. There are options out there. And I think if you're looking for that consultative experience, Shane and Ty, they explained it, how they look at it, how they do it. It's great stuff. It's not what everybody does. That's the shitty part about this. I mean, well, I guess it's any service industries. You have some companies that really put a ton of value on providing a great customer experience, and you have some unfortunate companies that just don't. So, great conversation, a lot of really good insight, and certainly, I'm looking forward to getting back into that, and having those guys back on and taking that discussion in another direction, because I think there is so much to talk when we get into lasers, and the truth behind passive aiming versus lasers, and because everyone likes to throw around, oh, you can just go passive aim. Like, well, until you've tried it and you can kind of see some of the difficulties with it, it's not the best solution. Now, yeah, everyone likes to throw, oh, well, near peer forces, and then you can't use lasers. Okay, well, if that's the case, then all right, so you should know how to passive aim. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm saying that it's kind of shitty, and it may affect your optic choice, just depending on what you're doing, what equipment you have, and what you want to do. So there's a lot of directions we can take that with lasers, with the optics. We only talked really about, a couple mounts that are off there, helmets. There's so much stuff that plays into the night vision discussion and the night vision game, battery packs and power sources and, irises and all just the goofy accessories and stuff. Like, we spend so much time. That's why we continue to have guests come on to talk about this stuff, because for as much as we've talked about it, there is still more that we haven't got to. There are still perspectives out there that we haven't had the opportunity to touch on. So I do hope this was very helpful for you guys, bringing in, Ty and Shane, getting their perspective, hearing what they have to say, sharing what TUS is doing, and the good work they're trying to bring to the marketplace to offer people like you and I, a solution. So thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening this week. We got more on the way, believe me, tons more in the next couple of weeks. Really, really excited as we head on up to the end of the month, when again, we're heading out to Pennsylvania for the HTA Range Day trip, which is one of the things I look forward to every year, this year obviously being no exception. So again, thank you guys so much for hanging out. That's all I got for you this week. Until next time, you guys stay safe out there. Enjoy the fall. Go Lions. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.